Amen. We're turning to Psalm 23 and concluding our study. We've had this will be our seventh message in this psalm. What a wonderful psalm it has been. How encouraged our hearts have been as we've been reminded of who we are in Christ. And therefore, we want to read this again. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the final verse of this psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful verse. We pray you'll open it to us today. Lord, give us new gems that we have not mined before. Give us, O Lord, precious thoughts that we haven't seen before as the light of God shines upon this verse today. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit, and give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy precious name. All be exalted, Lord, in the preaching of thy word. Do a work, we pray, that will last for eternity. Build thy church, extend thy kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. We've had the privilege over the last number of weeks and months to look over Psalm 23. The blessings of the Christian when the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And those blessings are the right and the privilege of every single believer, those who have repented from sin and trusted Christ alone for salvation. And coming to the end of this psalm, David comes to a note, a wonderful chorus of praise that is worthy of being sung every day of our lives. It is the great assurance of the believer. He has grasped what he has and who he is in Christ. It is an awareness of how truly blessed he or she is. You know, many times we can get discouraged at our circumstances or at the changes that take place around us. But remember this, the word of the Lord and the word of the unchanging God, it's timeless. It's timeless. It is for every moment of every day that we live upon this earth. There will never be a time when God's word is not applicable or true. And this is wonderful news because it means we can depend upon this word. And we can depend upon this verse today and the truths it contains. And what peace that would result in our lives if we rested upon such truth. Let us think about what is contained in this verse under five simple headings. First of all, we see provision. We see provision in the words goodness and mercy. That is the provision of God. Now, the word goodness means, of course, that which is good or that which is right. But it also can be translated precious or prosperity or gracious or favor. And therefore, whenever things that are good happen to us, they are precious. They cause us to prosper. They're gracious gifts from God. They're the favor of God upon us. Now, when we come to the book of Psalms, there is much to be said about goodness and mercy. Turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, just over a few pages. And in verse number 13, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is important for every believer to remember the goodness of God. God is good. And whenever we remember that, that means that anything that happens in our lives, we always have this foundational truth, this foundational statement, God is good. Now the storms may blow in my life today, but God is good. My health may not be what I want it to be, but God is good. And whenever we have that as our foundation, rather than blaming God or distancing ourselves from God, we run to the arms of God for comfort and for grace and for succor in our time of need. Friend, we need to remember, what did David say? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. In other words, I had given up. I couldn't go on anymore unless I remembered this, that God is good. Turn to Psalm 65, because there in Psalm 65, we read something further about the goodness of God. In Psalm 65, verse 11, look what it says. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Oh, what a verse for us to take into 2022. Lord, no matter what happens this year, you will crown it with goodness. Psalm 107, we turn over just a couple of more pages. Psalm 107, verse number 8. We have thought of the necessity of remembering the goodness of God, the abundance of his goodness throughout the whole year. But there's praise due for his goodness, because it says in Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You see, whenever we come parched and we come hungry, and we come weary and we seek him, he fills us with goodness. He gives his word. He gives his comfort. He gives his strength. He won't turn the hungry seeker away. He won't turn the weary seeker away. But whenever we long for him, he will satisfy us. And whenever we come in all of our need, he will fill us with his good things. We have a wonderful God. Turn back to Psalm 23, because not only does the psalmist speak about goodness following him all the days of his life, but he also talks about mercy. And the word mercy could be translated kindness in some parts of Scripture. It's actually translated loving kindness. It's kindness shown because of the love that God has for us. Once again, let's look at some verses in the Psalms that teach us about this. Psalm 25, just two Psalms over. Psalm 25, look at verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And here we have this lovely thought, that the kindness of the Lord in his thoughts toward us, the kindness of the Lord in his thoughts, because of the love of God toward us and his kindness toward us, he doesn't remember the sins of our youth. He doesn't look at us and see what we once were, but God looks at us in his loving kindness and he sees Christ, because the robe of righteousness covers us. We are viewed in Christ. That's why Paul kept saying in the New Testament that he was in Christ. So here's the love and the mercy of God. He doesn't view us as what we once were, those hell-deserving, guilty sinners. He views us as his beloved, as those whom he loves, whom he gave his son to die for, those who are blood-washed, spirit-filled. In verse number 10 of that psalm, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Here's another thing. There's the kindness of the Lord in the paths he has prepared for us. What God has planned for you has been done out of a heart of love and kindness. And often we go our own way and we make a mess of things. And often we do things that are contrary to God's word, and then we feel sorry for ourselves and wonder, why do these things always happen to me? But friend, if we will only walk the paths of righteousness that God has ordained in his word. And I beg you and I urge you, don't pick and choose as if you're at a pick and mix. Obey God's word. Follow all the paths, and I can tell you, you will be mightily, richly, tremendously blessed. There's also a loving note here in verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sin. Here's the kindness of the Lord in our times of hurt. Are you desolate this morning? Are you in pain this morning? Are you in distress? Are troubles seeming to just be all around you? Are you afflicted? Or are you just weary? Well, do what this psalmist did. Call upon the Lord. In fact, the very first verse of Psalm 25 is, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Bring your cares and your troubles before the Lord honestly and seek him to deliver you and bring you through. And he will, because he is the God of mercy, the God of loving kindness. Just two more verses before we come back to Psalm 23. Turn to Psalm 51. We know this psalm so well. It's a psalm of repentance of David. David had sinned as a Christian. He had sinned wickedly and defiantly before God and against God. It affected his life. It affected his family. It affected others around him. Because he was not being obedient to the Lord. And here's what he cried in Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And here's the kindness or the mercy of the Lord, even when we fall. When we have done the thing we shouldn't do, and we have said the thing we shouldn't say, and whenever we have thought the thing we shouldn't have thought, and when we've acted in a manner that we should not have acted in, whether in the house of God or outside the house of God, here is the loving kindness of God. There's always mercy with our Savior. He will always restore the fallen. Don't you think you can't come back to where you used to be? Don't you think you can't be what you used to be? Don't think you can't be faithful? Don't think you can't be serving? Because the kindness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord is there to be entreated when we even sin. And I would remind you, whenever the Lord forgives and puts it into the sea of forgetfulness, so should the people of God. And then one final thing, Psalm 59. Psalm 59 and verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. The mercy of God should be considered at the start of every new day. The mercy of God, that should be the perspective we have. The mercy of God should be thought on, sung on to the Lord about, read about, prayed about. We should start the day remembering that he is the God of goodness and he is the God of mercy. And I'll tell you, if you start the day in the presence of the God of goodness and mercy, then you'll start your day in the center of the will of God. Don't try and do your best. There is nowhere in this book where you're called to do that. But you're called to start the day with God. To give the day to God. Live the day with God and for God. And in the evening, commit that day to God. God's provision is goodness and mercy. Think of the source. It's from the Lord. And therefore, his goodness and his mercy will not fail us. They will never cease to be. Oh yes, there are times that the Lord uses individuals or groups to bless us and they show goodness and they show mercy to us and we thank God for that. But ultimately, whether it's from an individual or a group or whatever way it's shown to us, every blessing is from the Lord and should be acknowledged as such. So when someone encourages you, bless the Lord. When someone shows goodness and kindness to you, bless the Lord and give thanks unto the Lord. Think of the goodness and mercy you've experienced already, dear believer, in your life. God in his goodness and mercy has given you his word. He has sent his son to die for you. He has called you to faith in Christ through the preaching of his word and the reading of his word. He has preserved you to this hour. He has provided you with many precious promises and graces and blessings, even in this very psalm, and of course in the entire book. And therefore, we ought to praise God for his goodness and for his mercy. The second thing I want you to notice is not just the provision, but the position in this psalm, because it says, surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me. And that's the position of the blessing of God in our lives. They shall follow me. That word shall follow me, it's actually translated in Psalm 34, verse 14, as pursue. So we could say, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me. And that is the thought of going close after and keeping in close contact with. Think about this truth. Think of it visually. The Lord is before me because he leads me. His goodness and his mercy pursue me, or they follow me. And here am I, enveloped in the center with the Lord leading and his goodness and mercy surrounding me. The arms of God underneath me. The blessing of God falling upon me. We are richly blessed. If we would only view who we are and where we are in Christ. But remember this, we can only say that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life because the first verse is true. The first verse is true, the Lord is my shepherd. Only those who are saved can claim this goodness and mercy. When Christ is our shepherd, when we follow him, we are richly blessed, following Jesus every day by day. Nothing shall harm me when Jesus leads the way, darkness or sunshine, whatever befall. Jesus, my Savior, is my all in all. And there's no greater place of safety, there's no greater place of blessing than to be in the center of God's will. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean you're free from trouble or trial, but it means that you're safe, that you are blessed, you're secure, you're in fellowship with him. You see, the idea of following gives an idea of closeness, doesn't it? You can't follow really from afar off, but you can follow when you're close to the person. And therefore, if someone follows something, they have an interest. They're invested in it. We know people who maybe follow sport, and they're always looking at the fixtures, the results, the tables, all of those things, and they're following it closely. God's blessings are continually following his people. Even whenever we are not aware, God is blessing us with goodness and mercy. At times, whenever we're not even desirous of it, God is still blessing us with goodness and mercy. In Psalm 121, verse 3, he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Even when you are in your bed at night and your eyes are closed and you're unconscious of what's going on around you, God's goodness and mercy are still following you. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But what I love about this is the fact that the psalmist is aware God's goodness and mercy are following him. There is an awareness. You see, God's goodness and mercy is not to be taken for granted. All that we receive is just not to be taken for granted, that's ours. But we are to take stock and to be mindful, to be humble and to be thankful that all we have and all we are is because of Christ, what he has done and who he is. And if we have such an awareness, it will keep us humble. Pride is an awful thing, but you know what pride is? Pride is a person forgetting that they need God. That's what it is, essentially. Pride is a person forgetting that they need God. And therefore, they don't humble themselves before him. And they don't obey his word. They go and do their own thing in their pride, causing trouble for themselves and for others. But if we remember God's goodness and mercy, it reminds us that God's ways are best and God's ways are blessed. Now, I have to say this, not all good things are easy. Not all things that are good for us are easy. For example, there'll be times when illness necessitates a particular course of treatment in our lives. And that treatment or that medicine may not be pleasant, it may be bitter, it may have side effects, but ultimately it is good because it frees us from the illness that has been attacking the body. It's not something we long for, it's not something we enjoy, but ultimately it is good for us. All of God's works toward us are goodness and mercy. And friend, that includes his chastising us. That's goodness and that's mercy. because it brings us back into the way. That includes his afflicting us for a time, or allowing us, like Job, to be exposed to trouble for a time. Then he might prove us, strengthen us, knock the rough edges off, make us more like himself. That includes when he shows us our sin and we feel guilt and conviction and remorse over it. Whenever God puts his finger in our life, we know that's not right and it has to be dealt with. Praise God, that's a good thing to bring us back into fellowship with him. We thought about the provision, we thought about the position. Let's look at the perpetuity, because it says here, all the days of my life, perpetually, these blessings are found. Every morning, they're new. They continue all the day. As long as life will last, the temporal goodness and mercy of God will be found following us until we're translated to the place where the eternal goodness and mercy of God will surround us. It's unfailing care. God's goodness and mercy, even through all the changes of life, in every situation, will be found with us. And this is, one of the Bible commentators says, this is the language of the utterance of a heart overflowing with joy and gratitude, having looked back to see what God has done and looking forward in full, glad anticipation of what God is going to do. He has not failed me yet, and therefore I can look forward with the confidence he never will fail me. God's provision is sufficient for all of your need. God's provision is sufficient for all of my need. We sang a few moments ago, God is all sufficient for the coming year. There will never be a day when you awake and God will not be able to give you what you need. But praise God, he will always meet you at the point of your need. Then we look at something else here in this verse. We look at the place that is spoken of. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the phrase "the house of the Lord" is used several times in Scripture, all of which in the Old Testament, and speak mainly of the place that the Israelites attended in their worship of God. Of course, many Bible commentators believe it also is speaking of heaven, that place where we have our eternal dwelling place in the eternal house of God. But most Bible commentators believe that in the immediate context of this psalm, it is speaking of being involved in worship and in the place of worship while we are upon this earth. You see, the worship of the Lord is an essential part of our Christian life. And as we gather together to worship God here, we effectively have a foretaste of what will happen in eternity, because we will gather together to worship the Lord there. Our praises will be of the Lamb. But worship takes effort. It takes preparation, it takes concentration, and it takes time. But what a blessing worship is. Oh, it blows away the cobwebs of apathy. It stirs up our heart to praise God for who he is. And this is a heart that is richly blessed and aware of his standing as a believer. And the result is this: I want to worship the Lord all the days of my life. That's what he's saying. I want to give the rest of my life over to the worship of God. And because he is a king, he's in Jerusalem, he actually could literally be in the house of the Lord each of those days. But whether or not he is literally in a physical building, he wants to be in the worship of the Lord. He wants to be singing the praises of the Lord. He wants to be under the preaching of the word of God. And I'll tell you, when someone stands before God with clean hands and a pure heart, when they're walking with him in his word, in the place of prayer, when they're in fellowship with him, when they love him, when they obey him, when they follow him, there will be a desire for more of the things of God. And you find that happens in the Psalms again and again. Starts with a thought, and as the thought grows, there's more thoughts about the Lord and more thoughts about the goodness of God. And then there is a wonderful resolution at the end of the psalm. And here in this one it is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Why? Because it's there in the presence of God that I'm most blessed, most joyful. When we think about the house of the Lord, we also think about the church of Jesus Christ, because that is another description of the people of God, those who gather together in the house of the Lord. And when we come to the house of the Lord, we meet with the church of Jesus Christ. The church, of course, truly being the people of God who are saved. And it's those people who dwell in the house of the Lord or who worship the Lord as believers here on earth will enter into Father's house, will enter into heaven, and there in the eternal house of the Lord have fellowship forever. When we think about the house of God or the church of Jesus Christ or the people of God, we think about being in the family of God, don't we? That's membership. Are you in the family of God this morning? Are you a member of the family of God? Have you been saved by God's grace? Have you been washed in Christ's blood? Have you repented from your sin and trusted in Christ? When we think about the house of God or the church of God, we think about being among the people of God, and that's fellowship. Fellowship one with the other. We need fellowship. We're not created to be isolated people. We're not created to be islands, but we're created to fellowship together. And what joy there is when we come together with the people of God. There's no family like the family of God. There is no people like the people of God. And therefore come with hearts desiring fellowship with one another and with the Lord. When we think of the house of God, we think about being at the table of God. And that speaks of sonship. We think of Mephibosheth. And whenever David invited him, who technically he was an enemy of the throne because he had a claim to it, David invited Mephibosheth into his home and he said, "You shall eat at my table all the days of your life." Why? Because he made him a son. And praise God, we are sons of God, daughters of God, and we can feast at the table of God. When we think about the house of God, we think about the presence of God, and that speaks of worship. Membership, fellowship, sonship, and worship. That's what the church is about. Saved by his grace and committed to a New Testament fellowship. Being part of that fellowship. Living in the full obedience as son or daughter of God and worshiping him. And I would say this. Remember to speak very carefully of the house of the Lord, of the church of Jesus Christ, because he is the head, he is the head, the church is the body. And sometimes people can speak very glibly about the church, and that's putting it at best. And there are others speak with great venom against the church, forgetting whose it is and what it is. It is the body of Christ. And I can tell you, for you to attack the church of Jesus Christ is for you to attack Christ. And may God give us grace as we live for him to be very careful with our lips. And to maybe be a little less critical of the church of Jesus Christ. And I speak as a whole, the church of Jesus Christ. And to do what we are called to do. To pray for it. The church of Jesus Christ, the people of God. We are to love it as Christ loves the church. We are to commit ourselves to the church which the Lord leads us to and be there. And therefore, that's what I say to you today. Be careful how you treat the church. Be very careful what you say against the church. All of those things, because it's the Lord's, it's precious. He died, shed his blood to save it. And therefore, we ought to be very careful and not run off with our mouths, bad-mouthing the church and the people of God, because the Lord takes it personally. I remember years ago, many years ago, sitting at a hospital bed. And there was a man dying at the side of that bed. And I remember that man looking at me with tears coming down his eyes. And he said, I wish I'd done more for the Lord. I was very shocked at that statement because knowing that man for many years, I'd seen him do much for the Lord. He'd taken part in various activities within the church. He had served in various ways within the work of God. As far as I could see, this man had done quite a lot for the work of God. And he'd come to the time of his life when usually he would be retiring and he would have a bit more free time and maybe he had planned to do more in his retirement, but Such was the will of the Lord. He had come toward the end of his life. Illness prohibited him from even attending the house of God anymore, much less doing anything in the work of the Lord. And I will never forget the tears running down his face. I wish I'd done more. Dear believer, don't waste your opportunities. Don't get to the end of this year and look back and say, oh, I wish I'd done more. Don't get to the end of your life and say, oh, I wish I'd done more when I had my health, my youth, opportunity. Time is precious. So too is the work of the Lord, and therefore give of your best while you can, and you will be greatly blessed. My final thought is this, is the perspective of the psalmist. And the perspective is this, he is certain of this truth because he uses two words. He uses the word surely, and then he uses the words forever. Surely and forever. This is not a hope so. This is a surety. This is a knowledge where he is certain of what he is saying. You see, there's very little upon which we can have true certainty. I can look you in the eye and say, I'll see you tomorrow. And in spite of my great intentions, with all the best will in the world, even those simple words cannot be taken with absolute certainty because events might transpire that wouldn't allow me to do that. But this we can rely upon, the word of God. I can't say, surely, I'll see you next Sunday. But I can say this, surely God will save you if you turn from your sin and call upon him. I can say, surely God will bless you if you obey him. I can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life if you're saved. I can say forever, I will be at home with Jesus when he calls me from this scene of time. And that's what the psalmist is saying. This is what I am certain of. This is what I believe. This is what I place my soul, my life upon. This is how I'm living my life, depending on the goodness and the promises of God. Friend, everything else will fail. All the things you have built up in your life, at the end of your days, you'll go to grasp and like smoke, they'll go through your hands and you'll have nothing of substance. Only eternal things will matter. And therefore, you need to make sure this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he is your shepherd, that he has saved you from your sin, that he has cleansed you, that he has transformed you and made you his child right now. And then we can say, with the words of the song, the blood makes me safe, and the book makes me sure. I know that I'm safe in the hands of the Lord, and no matter what comes, this truth shall endure. The blood makes me safe, and the book makes me sure. My prayer this morning is that all gathered here in the complex, watching at home, as you leave this meeting, as we say our final amen, that you will leave knowing that you're safe under the blood, and surely depending upon the word of God. Because it cannot. It will not fail. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Maybe there's some dear believer and you've entered into this year outside of Christ. Or some dear sinner and you've entered into this year outside of Christ. You've never been saved. Oh, you've sat in this house many times. You've heard the gospel, but you have never been saved. The Lord's calling you today to put your faith and trust in him. Maybe there's some believer and you've been walking afar off this past year. Your heart is cold and hard. And the Lord has put his finger upon your heart this morning to say, dear child, come back to me. And my mercy, I'll restore you. Will you not do that today? Dear believer, perhaps you're rejoicing in the Lord this morning. Well, praise God. I say amen to that, but don't be content just to stay where you are. Endeavor to go through with God today. Endeavor to commit this year to him. Endeavor to do your best while you have opportunity.
I'll be at the front of the church this morning. If anybody would like to speak to me, please do come and make that known. But whatever the need of your heart is, call upon the Lord now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this wonderful psalm that we have read and sung many, many, many times in our life. But, O Lord, what a blessing it has been to sit down and just take it word by word and line by line, and to be reminded of how merciful and good our God is. Lord, we are such a greatly blessed people. Forgive us for the times we murmur and complain. Forgive us for the times we act as if life is unfair to us. Oh, Father, we pray that you will help us to live with this truth as our foundational thought. Our God is good, and he is merciful. All I need, he will provide. Lord, help us to rest upon thee more, to rely upon thee more, to pray to thee more, to seek thee more, to love thee more, to serve thee more. Oh, Lord, we pray that as our shepherd, we will be found following thee, knowing that goodness and mercy will follow us. Save, O Lord, the lost, we pray. Restore those who are called, and richly bless thy children. Lord, bring us back this evening to the house of God. Don't allow us to be content just to come to the one service, but, O Lord, bring us back again for fellowship, for worship, to hear the gospel. Help us to bring souls with us who need to be saved. And, O Lord, we're looking to thee for a great time of blessing this evening. Thank you for being here this morning. We commit ourselves afresh to thee. Church, preacher, leaders of all works, committee, session, all who have had part in this place, Lord, take us and use us for thine eternal glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.